Amen. Good morning. How's everyone today? So good to see you here. We had a wonderful first service. How many people enjoyed worship? Amen. Isn't it wonderful to just soak in the presence and allow worship? You know, we don't do this very often, but can we take a minute and just thank our worship team? They're really good, you know. God bless them. You know, we have three other teams that play as well, but you know, next time you're seeing them out in the hallway or something, you know, just say, hey, thanks for your service. You know, they don't just show up on Sunday morning and they do both services, but they come during the week as well and have a practice, plus they're preparing. You know, there's a lot of work involved, and so I just am grateful for that. Amen. So, purpose. You know, you heard a bunch of different opinions of different people on their thoughts on it. Last week, if you remember, if you were here, we prayed over the mission team as they were going out, and you know, they had a very specific purpose, right? To go to the DR, to share the good news of the gospel. You know, it was spelled out very clearly for them. And so the sermon last week, our time together, I spoke about our general mission. And each one of us have a purpose as believers, right? And if you remember, we talked about the importance of loving God first, loving others. That's, you know, a priority for us as believers. That's a mission for us. We also need to glorify God. In other words, our actions, our attitudes, our words, you know, not just Sunday morning, but during the week, you know, wherever we are, to be positive and that it reflects the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We also talked about the fact that we should be as believers in our mission and our purpose to prepare for eternity. In other words, tomorrow is not guaranteed for any one of us. Now listen, I have no death wish. I'd like to live for many, many, many years. How many people are like that? You'd like to live for many, many. But here's the thing. Tomorrow is not promised on this earth. So have you done what God's called you to do today? Because when that call comes, when the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ raise up and those who are alive are caught up, are you, as you're going up, you're like, oh, I forgot to do this. Or I forgot to do this. You know, you don't want to be that person, all right? You need to make sure that you keep your account short. You know, keep your board clean with the idea that if God has spoken to you, act upon it right then and there. Then you can say, I'm done, you know, and I'm ready whenever God does want to return. Amen. And then our final thing is we were called to be what? Disciple makers. The idea is that we go through this life loving on those around us, you know, making a friend, being a friend, and leading that friend to Christ. But not just, you know, leading them to Christ and just kind of abandoning them, but rather that as they come to Christ, we come alongside them and disciple them. That means that we care for them in an ongoing relationship. How many people had that one person that when you were first born again came alongside of you and encouraged you over a season of time? Yep, you got over half of you put your hand up. For me, it was my older brother. I don't think I'd be here today if it wasn't for his influence and his stability and his concern and his prayers for me as I was just walking in those early days with the Lord. And so we all need someone like that. And I apologize if you didn't have that person, but let's be that person to those around us in knowing that that's important. Amen? So we talked about that. So in a sense, what was I talking about last week? Our general purpose. In other words, this is what all of us as believers should be doing. But what about you? What about me? You know, we're unique and we're special. So here's the thing. I believe that there is a special purpose. In other words, a part that we play that maybe no one else can do that God has called each and every one of us. In other words, a specific purpose. Now, in the Bible, it talks a lot about this, but I'm going to start with this here. In Psalms 139, verse 115, David is talking of the Lord, and he says this. He says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." You know, woven me together. You know, and it just talks about how intricate we are. Do you know that there's over, you know, 100,000 miles of veins and arteries in your body? You know, nerves that are, you know, thousands of miles long. Like, can you imagine? So listen, God just didn't, you know, it took him a while, all right? You get what I'm saying? To form us each together. And that's the physical part. But what I want to talk to you this morning about is not the physical part. I want to talk to you about the spiritual part. And so I want you to look at verse 16. So Psalms 139, verse 16. David then goes on and says this, after, you know, woven together, he says, "You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Now, you, for those of you that have been with me for a while, you know that I underscore things that are really important. I couldn't stop. I underlined the whole thing. I'm sorry, all right? Because there was no part that I could leave out. It's just so much meat here, so much for each and every one of us. You know, before you saw me before I was born. So here's the thing. God saw you. You didn't see him. He saw you first. He had his eye on you. Thousands of years ago, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, God knew that you would exist. This is just so important because some of you were, accident children. Do I have any accident children here? I'm one. My hand's up. One day, I've told this story a couple times, but I remember saying to my mom, you know, how come there was 10 years between me and my older sister? And mom was quick. She's like, you were an accident. I'm like, thanks, Mom. I said, well, what about my younger brother? He was born 14 months later. Oh, no, I didn't want you to be a single child. He was planned. I'm like, thanks, Mom. You know, that was just so good for me to build up my self-esteem. Can you bring that scripture back up, please? And so as you look at this, here's what I realized in coming to Christ is that God knew me. That's what matters. You may be an accident like me. You may have been perfectly planned. Irregardless, God knew you. And knows you even still today. And then it goes on and says, every day of my life was recorded in your book. Well, what's that all about? Well, here's the reality of it. God had a plan and a purpose tailor fit for you before you breathed one breath of air. Now, that's something you should be grateful for. In other words, God knew how you were going to be, who you were going to be, and he has this tailor fit purpose plan for you to accomplish in this life, all right? And then it goes on, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Now, that can be scary for some people because here's what you can think. Well, I made a U-turn back here. I did this when I should have done that, you're right? For some, I should have married this person. I didn't. I married this person. I should have moved here. I didn't move here. You get all of a sudden, you can go a little crazy, right? How many people have made a bad decision at some point in their lives? Listen, your hands should all be up. Come on. Let me try this again. How many people have made at least one bad decision? All right, come on. All right, you know, we all have made some wrong decisions. In fact, I'm sure today I've made several of them already. I'll probably hear about it a little bit later. But the point is, we all have made mistakes. But here's the reality of it. God knew us. He also was aware that that mistake would happen. So guess what? God's got a plan B. You know, in that file cabinet in heaven where God has his purpose for us that's there, he knows that, oh, this you made a bad decision in. Does that mean then there's no hope for God's purpose to be done in your life? No. That would mean that God's not sovereign, that God's not all-knowing, that God's not all-powerful, and he's all three of those things. So even in the midst of our, I'll use this word, stupidity, when we've done something wrong, when we've failed in going in the direction God's called us to, if we're willing to repent, you know, you can't just carry on and think God's purposes are going to be done, but you're willing to repent and say, Lord, I made a bad turn there. I made a wrong decision there. I want to turn from that and follow you. Here's what God does. He goes back to the file cabinet, pulls it open, says, okay, here's where we are now. And let's begin to move forward in this. That's the nature and character of God. So let me tell you something. You may be in a place right now, and I sense there's some people here, you're like, oh, you have no idea how many wrong turns I made. You know, I'm so lost. I'm not in the woods. I'm in the middle of a, you know, pond somewhere. You know, and the thing is, God knows where you are. And he has a plan and a way out of it, and his purposes will not be thwarted. That, let me say something to you. There's no devil, there's no circumstance, there's no spouse, no child, no job situation, no financial situation, no health situation. None of those things can hinder you from fulfilling God's purposes in your life, except for one thing. There is one thing, and it's you and me. In other words, if we're willing to say, yes, I will do what you're calling me to do, then God is not perturbed by anything or anyone around because he already has that in the plan. He already knew that situation was going to happen. He already knew this thing was going to happen over here, and he still has a way through it. Where the problem is for many of us, and me included, is that we really don't want to go through it. Here's what we want to do. We want to go around it. We want to go over it. We want to go under it. But we do not want to go through it. There's no place in the Bible where God said it's okay to go around it, over it, or under it. But God always said this, I'll be with you through it. And so I encourage you to have that kind of attitude. Some of you right now, you're in the middle of something that is not good at all. And your prayer is, God, take me out of this. How about praying this? Lord, help me to get through it, to get to the other side. whatever lessons I need to learn, whatever I need to get out of this so I can get out of that other side as quickly as possible, Jesus. That's good prayer. And let me tell you something, God will be there to help you through it. Can you say amen to that? It's just so, so important. Okay, so I've given you kind of the foundation in that, look, God's got a plan. He's got a purpose for you. It's tailor fit for you. Mistakes, no mistakes, a lot of mistakes, few mistakes. God still has a plan, all right? How do we find out what that plan is? And really, that's what I want to leave you with in our few minutes this morning, is just to give you a couple of points to prepare you for this. And for some of you are already in this, all right, in one place or another. Some of you are like, I never really thought about God having a plan for my life specifically. And this will be all new. So wherever you are, I believe this will speak to you. So here's the first thing that you need to be aware of. You need to position yourself. If you want to know God's purposes, you have to position yourself. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, in fact, I'll read the first verse here. Habakkuk 2, verse 1. Here's Habakkuk. He says this, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he, God, will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. And so there it is. Let me give you a little context of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was living in a very difficult time. He was a prophet in the Old Testament living in the nation of Israel. It was a divided kingdom. So the Assyrians had come and already taken Israel away. The top half of Israel had taken them into captivity. And Judah was still there. So you had Israel and Judah, all right? When we think of Israel, we think Israel's all of it. Back then, it was Israel and Judah was the entire Jewish nation. And so they're in captivity, all right? So he's crying out, saying, God, you know, what's going to happen? You know, everybody in Judah, they're being evil. They're not treating people right. They're not following you. And now the Babylonians are getting stronger and stronger and stronger. They've captured the Assyrians, and they're coming for us too. God, help. Anybody had one of those kind of prayers? You know, you got life happening. It's all coming against you. And Habakkuk is like, I don't know what to do. Do you know what you do when you don't know what to do? You do what Habakkuk did. You want to pop that scripture back up. Here's what he says. He says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. That's just a fancy word. That watch means watchtower. So what the prophets of old would do was to separate themselves and go into like a high up place. For some, they'd go into a cave up on a mountain. In his case, he's in this watchtower. And he goes, I'm going to look out the window and I'm just going to watch to see what God has to say. So what is he really talking about? I'm going to pray. That's really what he's going to say. Right? He says, I'm going to pray and I'm going to watch to see what he will say. So he's what? Positioning himself. That's what prayer does. But here's the other part that you have to do. You have to not only position yourself, you know, physically and emotionally, but also with all your heart, because he says this, and watch to see what he will say to me and how I will answer when I am what? What's that word say? Corrected. How many times have we gone to God in prayer and we're like, God, this is what I want you to do. And you got like the checklist, right? And this is how I want it, and this is how soon I want it. You know, you've gone through it. Can I tell you, that's not how you approach the creator of the universe. You know, we're the one that was formed, right? He's the one that created us. How about going to him rather and say, Lord, you know, my attitude stinks here. You know, I don't know what's going on in the nation around me. In fact, let me tell you right now, I think this kind of prayer is needed here in America. We got more war, more stuff going around the world. There's more dangerous places now than there's ever been in history of the world. You look at a map and see where it's safe for an American to go and go on vacation. It's getting less and less and less. And so this prayer, bring that back up again. Sorry, I keep going back to that, but I want you to see this. And it, you know, the whole thing, are we willing in this time of turmoil to be corrected? We're living in a time and season where you correct somebody and they're like, you have no right to say that. Listen to me. Correction is not rejection. Now, that's in God's way. Now, again, we're brought up again in places where a lot of people aren't being corrected when they're younger. And so what happens is when they get older, all of a sudden they're like, you have no right to correct me. Let me tell you something. If you're doing something wrong, isn't it in your benefit for someone to say, hey, you know, just so you know, you shouldn't do this. You know, this is going to cause this. You should do this instead. How many people don't mind being corrected if it's going to lead to less pain or less expense? All right, well, literally that's how we should be with God. When he corrects you, don't get an attitude. He loves you. He's doing what's best for you. So, you know, get the chip off your shoulder, you know, get the bad attitude, put it away and say, Lord, I'll do what you're calling me to. I'm willing to be corrected. So that's part of the positioning, right? So you go out, You set yourself up to pray, to seek God, but your heart is there yielded to his correction and his direction. Amen. Okay, so let's move on to the second point. We need to prepare ourselves. So the first thing is we position ourselves, we need to prepare ourselves. And there's this wonderful account of Jesus interacting with the disciples. It's in Luke 9. And I'd like to have a look at it. Beginning in verse, this is 40 days before his crucifixion. So just a little more than a month ahead, all right? And so here's what it says. Luke 9, beginning verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up on a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened, as they were parting from him, that Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it's good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone, but they kept quiet and told no one in those days any of the things which they had seen. So I love this account. So first of all, you need to see who led who. Jesus led the three disciples onto this mountain to have an encounter. God wants to lead you into encounters with him, all right? That's a fact. And the thing is, begin to believe it, begin to look for it, begin to accept it. And the thing is, for that to happen, you have to be forward-looking. How many people have had an experience with Jesus at some point in their lives? And it was like awesome, all right? Awesome experience, right? How many people would love to have that experience again, right? Okay, and I get it, and I understand how you feel that way and why you feel that way, because it was so incredible. You know, you felt so close to Jesus. You maybe heard his voice in some way and got direction or comfort in some way, right? But here's the thing. If we go through life saying this, "I wish it was like the good old days. I wish it was like that." You know, I can't tell you how many people have come to church over the last 20 years, and they maybe haven't been here for a long time, and they're like, "Oh, I wish it could just be like the old days." And I'm like, "Okay, well, what do you mean by that?" And so they'll talk about some experience they had and all that, and they're like, "Yeah, I just wish." And so I began to pray about this, and I said, "Lord, you know, would I want that?" And so in a sense, it's like, okay, the experience was great, but I look at where my life was. I wouldn't trade where I am now for that. Here's my point. That experience should be a stepping stone to a new experience today or tomorrow or next week. But if we're always wishing for the good old days, you know, that if a certain song would come on, how many people have a favorite Christian song, all right, that's really moved you in the past? I have those, right? And so what happens is you're like, you hear that song, you're like, oh yeah. And you kind of get transported back to that situation. But here's the thing, that was then. What about today? What does God want to do today? And that's so, I just need you to understand how important that is to be forward-looking in what Jesus wants to do in your life. If you want to know God's purposes, then you can't keep looking back. You've got to move forward. In fact, let me say this. Some of us, I'm not looking at anybody in particular, right? Some of us haven't had that new experience because we didn't listen to what God told us to do the first time. If you remember, Peter was told, "Listen," right? And there were specific things that he was told to do. And we find out later in life, 30 years later, he mentions that event and he says, "God spoke to me on that mountain and it was a foundation for me, a prophetic word for me to move forward." That's literally what he says. He didn't talk about building three tabernacles. He didn't talk, because that's what we want to do generally, right? We have an experience with God. What do we want to do? We want to camp there. And that's literally what Pete wanted to do. He's like, "Okay, let's just build three tents here. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, you know, and we'll just hang around and we'll sing Kumbaya and just hold hands here and just experience God." Here's the thing. To experience God is good. You need that. We need that. All of us need that. But you can't fulfill your purpose on the mountain, all right? You find your purpose in the presence, but then you leave the presence to go do what God has called you to do. But so often we love the presence. How many people love the presence of Jesus? I love it, right? And the thing is, it's awesome. But here's the thing. Then there is what's known as the work of the ministry, where you actually have to go and do what God's called you to do. And so often we just want the presence without the work, so to speak. Now, I'm not saying you have to work to get the presence. That's not what I'm suggesting here. But what I'm suggesting is God speaks to you in his presence. Then you go out, and because you love him, you serve him, and you do what he's asked you to do, right? And then guess what? As you're doing that, God reveals himself again. You have another mountaintop experience, and then you can move forward. Then another mountaintop experience. That's how it's supposed to work, ever flowing in and out. So I pray that all of you here haven't just had one experience with Jesus, but that it's an ongoing, vibrant relationship with him. Amen? Okay. So one of the things I want you to see in this scripture is that when Moses and Elijah showed up, what were they talking to Jesus about? It says his decease, right? In other words, they were talking about the fact he was going to be crucified and all the things that were going to happen in Jerusalem. And so that's what the purpose of the presence is, to show you what you're going to do specifically. How many people want to know what God wants you to do? Anybody here? I hope so. And so how does that happen? It begins by entering into his presence. And that means, like Habakkuk, taking time aside. You know, I know we're busy. I know we're busy. All of us. We live in New York State. We're busy, all right? You know, you've heard the term New York minutes, about 10 seconds long, right? You know, we're busy, busy, busy people. But here's the thing. I have learned that when I take a step of faith and say, Lord, I need to hear what you want me to do today. And oh, by the way, God's got a plan for you today. You might say, well, hold it. It's my day off. Okay, hold it, hold it. As a Christian, when do you take a day off? You take a day off from your Christianity? No, you take a day off from your work. You take a day off maybe from some other activities that you're doing. But you should never be on vacation from Jesus. And so even if you're going to this afternoon recreate, let's say you're going to the beach. Use that as an example, right? So you're going to go to the beach. Do you leave Jesus at home? I hope not. No, he goes with you because he lives in you, right? And so we should have a God consciousness wherever we're going. And so to be a light for him wherever we're going. So if we're going to the beach, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm here. What do you want me to do? And if opportunity presents itself, you're doing what? You're going to encourage somebody in Jesus, because that's what we're called to do. So please don't have days off in Jesus, because that means that you're only a part-time Christian. And I'm just going to ask this. Well, what if Jesus shows up when you're off duty? Just asking, just having some fun with it. But reality of it is we should always be ready to have encounters with him. Amen? Okay, final point. First point was position yourself. Next, prepare yourself. And finally, present yourself. Romans 8:28 to verse 30 says this. We'll read 28 first of all. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to what? His purpose. So there it is again. So how many people love Jesus? We got some people here that love Jesus. I hope so. So then God then, okay, we know God works all things for good. You know, even that terrible thing going on in your life right now, God will work it for good if you love him and you'll follow his purposes. Again, it's a conditional promise, right? In other words, it could still be a bad situation, but God will help you through it and who've been called according to your purpose. So let's read on to see the context of the scripture. Verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Now, I remember as a Bible school student, and some of you are in Bible school, you know, the whole thing of predestination. Has that ever been a topic you've talked to somebody about? You know, how certain people, and the definition back then was that God has predestined some people to go to heaven and some people to go to hell, all right? That's a teaching that's out there. I think that's a load of crock, all right? Let me tell you why. The Bible says this, that God desires that everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's heart. And so when God formed every individual in their mother's womb, when God knew that person way before they ever breathed one breath, there's a file cabinet with God's original purpose in heaven. It's there. Now, the thing is, for that file cabinet to be opened, that person has to receive Jesus. And then the cabinet's opened, and guess what? That purposes are available for that individual. So I believe that on that day of judgment, when everyone, great and small, saved and unsaved, stands before the Lord, and someone stands up and accuses God of saying, you planned me not to go to heaven, God's going to say, that's not true. Here's the file cabinet. This was my original plan for your life, but you chose not to accept it. Wow. It's that simple. It's that simple. I pray that every single person here has chosen to follow Jesus. Because until you do that, God's purposes for your life can't be unlocked. So if you're here today and you've never made a decision for Jesus, you should make it right now. There is no downside to this at all. There's no downside. No payments. No, you know, the payment was paid by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He paid with his life. It's prepaid. Just receive it by faith. Just acknowledge that you're not going to make it to heaven on your own, and you need Jesus to save you. Make that decision right now, right today, amen? And so as we look at this scripture, when it's talking about predestined, it's just talking about the fact that God has this pre-plan for each and every one of us. And here's the thing, he goes on, and over and over he talks about called and called. In fact, he mentions called several times. Well, that is a loud invitation. And so here's the thing, God has this plan. God calls us, we respond, and then what does God do? He justifies us or declares us righteous because we responded to him. So how much of the plan are you letting work in your life that God has for you? This is a choice only you can make, right? I'd like to ask the music team to come up, and let's take a minute and just stand here for a minute. We're going to worship in a few moments and close in prayer. But for those that are camera people, I know that I got yelled at the last service. I forgot to put this up. You want to put up the summary. So those that have camera, you can take your little picture of the outline. If you want to look up the scriptures later on your own. But everyone just stand with me right now that can stand. You know, obviously, if you can't, that's okay. But I want to ask you this question. Where are you in the purpose train? In other words, are you at a place where you're like, I have no idea what my purpose is. I just have no idea. Or maybe God has spoken to you and you know a little bit. And maybe you're in that place where you're struggling with being obedient to that. Let me tell you something. When God asks you to do something, generally speaking, your flesh is going to be against it. Almost without exception. So there's going to be a part of you that's always going to be fighting it. So don't think, well, when it's God's perfect will for my life, I'll feel good about it. No, you probably won't. Because always God's purposes and plans is to stretch you beyond who you are right now. He wants to take you beyond the limits that you've put around your life because God wants the more for you. And maybe you're at that place where you know all that and you just haven't taken that step of faith and actually doing what he's called you to do. But you're somewhere in this because we all are. So we're going to sing this song. It's called Spirit Lead Me. It was the second song in the set. And I did this at the first service, and God just did some amazing things. I'm going to ask you to respond. You know, often I say, you know, just raise your hand if, you know, you want to see God's purposes done. That might be what I would do. I'm going to ask you to take a step beyond that. If God is speaking you to this morning about seeking him deeper to find out your specific purpose in life, then I'm asking you just stand up here in the front. Just come on up forward, and we'll sing this song together, and then we will close in prayer. I believe that God's going to speak to your hearts as you respond. You might say, well, why do I have to do that? Well, listen, Habakkuk had to go into the watchtower and say, I'm setting myself to do this. Yes. I'm just asking you to come forward. Yes. Not that painful. Take a couple minutes. You can do this. Let's sing the song.
This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing.
Learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. I don't wanna fight. go my own way. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit, lead me. A burden, but once I could grasp it, you took me further, further than I was asking, and simply to see you, it's worth it all. My life is an altar, let your fire fall. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. Teach me how to follow in your way. Your word is all I've got. I have to believe you still bring water from the rocks to satisfy my thirst, to love me at my worst. And even when I don't remember, you remind me of my worth. Say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. You're the only truth, the life, the way. I'm done chasing feelings. Spirit,
feel that there's people here that this is all new to them. They're not sure if this is real, but God's saying, trust Him. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will strengthen you. He will show you your purpose. He will give you the words to speak. He will give you the things to do if you trust in Him.
Thank you. Amen. Listen, everybody here, take a deep breath right now. Where there's breath, there's hope.
Yes.
Always. Where there's breath, there's hope, there's a purpose, there's a plan. Don't let the enemy tell you you've missed it. No such thing. May have missed that opportunity, but guess what? God's got new ones. Because He knows. He knows. Father, right now, I just speak a blessing upon every single person here. Those watching online, Lord, I pray that they understand that you've called us to live a purposeful life, tailor-made for each and every one of us. And that, Lord, really our walk in this life is to discover what that is and then do it. So, Lord, I speak a blessing upon each one. For, Lord God, so many, we want to be blessed. We want a sense of fulfillment. We want joy. We want peace, all of that. But we want to do it outside of your purpose, which is impossible. So, Lord, I pray that we pursue you and you only and have fulfillment, joy, peace, direction. Lord, bless each one as they follow hard after you. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. God bless you this morning.